For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. January 29th, we are continuing in Derech Hashem. We are in Chelek Beis, Perek Shmini. It's the last Perek of Chelek Beis. The Perek is called Behavchanos Protios Behashkacha, which means more details about Hashkacha. So we're going to see, he's going to add a few points that he has not discussed regarding Hashkacha, and that will finish off this Chelek, and then we'll talk about what the other two Chelekim are going to speak about. So the first point that the Ramchal makes in this Perek is that although we've discussed all of the types of Hashkacha that Hashem has with people, with the world, etc., and we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things according to the way He set things up. So He set up a system and He stays within that system. But also, we know that He presents it as if it's two different Ritzonos from Hashem. It's not shy to talk about two things. Hashem is always one uniform thing. But He presents it as two, for a human being, it would be two different Ritzonos. One is to stay within the system, and the second is to be Meitiv. Hashem wants to be Meitiv. The whole point of creation is to be Meitiv to us. So we've already discussed what being Meitiv means. It doesn't just mean giving pleasure. There's more to it. It means enabling us to be connected to Him. So therefore, he says, the way that Hashem does din is going to reflect the fact that He wants to be Meitiv. If din were pure din without Hashem's interest in being Meitiv, then it would be very black and white. If a person does something good, they're rewarded. If they do bad, they're punished. Very straightforward, very simple. But because Hashem is interested in being Meitiv, like we described, the way He set up the system is even a system that is weighted towards Olam Haba over not having Olam Haba. Remember, the opposite of Olam Haba is to be completely destroyed, is to not exist. Gehenim is not the opposite of Olam Haba. Gehenim is a way to get into Olam Haba. Gehenim was created in order to enable more people to get into Olam Haba. Those who didn't make it, they could still get purified and enter Olam Haba. That Hashem is pushing people towards Olam Haba. So too, the way that Hashem punishes is with an intention to get us into Olam Haba. So the punishment is one which is to encourage us to do better. So even if He has to punish, as He writes, it's the way a father would punish his child, not the way a king would punish his subject. Because Hashem's whole interest is to get us to be Meitiv to us, to get us to a matziv of Tov, which is connected to Him. So, on a very simple level, that means that, first of all, we've already talked about this, that the way that when a person does something wrong and Hashem wants to get him to do good, he could start by nudging the person, giving him reminders, that sort of thing. It could also be that Hashem, as we know, when Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, He doesn't give one gigantic punishment at once. He'll give a lot of little punishments in order to spread it out so that it doesn't destroy. Instead, it encourages people to improve. So he says that in addition to the fact that the din is mimutak, from Lashon of Mesika, the din is sweetened, but also, he says, there are times where Hashem will decide not to do din, and just to do whatever needs to be done in order to push either a particular individual or the world as a whole towards Hatava. He says, that's what it means when it says in the Pasuk, V'chanosi es asher achon, v'richamti es asher arachem. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that sometimes you have a tzaddik v'tovlo, a tzaddik v'ra'lo, rasha v'tovlo, rasha v'ra'lo. he asked him that question. The Gemara has a few different answers. One of the answers the Gemara says is that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's my business. Sometimes I just do. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that there's no cheshbon. Of course there's a cheshbon. We're talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the cheshbon we are not privy to. It's not something which we're given the blueprint to understand. There are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using His infinite wisdom, decides that in this particular situation, din must be pushed aside and something has to happen in order for Hatava to take place. Because ultimately, the world has to get to a place of Hatava. So, sometimes that will happen. And therefore, there are times when things happen that are inexplicable to us. Well, we can't understand it. And that's v'chanosia sasharachon. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand according to that pshat in the Gemara. V'chanosia sasharachon v'richamtia sasharachem. Sometimes I'll give chanina and I'll be merachem in situations where there's no reason that you can understand. Now, therefore, the hashgacha, just the way he says it, it's really the same point. I'm just going to spell it out for you. The way he says it is that in these two methods, these two drachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach. So I'll read it. Ki nehu Mashkiach b'hashkachas ha-mishpat. He uses Mishpat, which is Din. Lishpro tamines kol ha-maisa, to always be shofet. U-mashkiach b'hashkachas ha-shlita, and he'll also be Mashkiach in the way of Shlita, means rulership. L'kayim b'yachalt, meaning rulership over the Din. L'kayim b'kocho v'yachalto es ha-briya, in order to establish the Bria, below Secharav, it shouldn't be destroyed, the Roa Ma'alei B'nai Adam, with the evil actions of man. So, sometimes Hashem will override the Din when He sees it's appropriate, in order not to destroy the whole Bria.
Does that mean the person won't get punishment in Olam Haba? Or it means that Hashem like canceling it out completely? Or just
that's a good question. I don't know. It sounds like he's saying this is true of the entire Bria, not even though I said also a specific person. The Maral Chal doesn't mention it for a specific person. It sounds like this is true for a general issue. So I don't know if you're asking, is there a payback at some point or other?
Yeah,
I don't know. He doesn't say. Now, the main focus of this parak, though, is the next point, which is that just as there is hashgacha on our physical matzav in the world, that's what we've been talking about the entire time. A person, we talked about many reasons why a person could have yesurin, which are physical afflictions. We gave many reasons. What was it? I think 7 reasons we gave why a person was besides punishment. Many other reasons why a person could have yesurin. So we've been focusing on a person's physical place in the world. A person's circumstances, their health, their parnasa, their family, all of the things that make up where we are in this world, what we all have to deal with on a daily basis. And there are many, many, many factors that are interplaying with each other to affect every moment of our lives, what kind of hashpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're going to have regarding all these things, regarding bracha and parnasa and health and goodwill, feeling good, emotional health, everything. It's all an interplay. We mentioned how complicated it is, how complex it is, because it's not just me. It's you and you and you, and we all interplay with each other. So there's a constant recalibration of everything, which is immensely complex. But the Ramchal says, just as you have that on a physical level, that's true on a spiritual level as well. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also constantly being mashpia and being mashkiach on a spiritual level, which means, and this is a little bit of an eye-opening thing. Pashtus, we say that Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mi Yiras Shamayim. So that means that we're given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu our physical circumstances, and we can't control that. Of course, a person can be punished or rewarded as time goes on, but our starting point is determined from mazel. Hashem put us in a particular situation, that's what we have. A person is given a certain health and a certain strength and a certain intellect and a certain height and a certain beauty, and all these things are all set up already. And again, because we interact with each other and because we play off each other, so everything is constantly being affected by each other. But what about our ruchniyistika connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, that's bi'adenu, right? We determine that. If we do mitzvahs, we get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Chas V'Shalom, we don't do mitzvahs, so we do averus Chas V'Shalom, then we move further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that hashpa of how much ruchniyus, how much dveikus we have, that's up to us. That's bi'adenu. So Amchal says, of course that's true, but there's also a hashpa'a from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that waxes and wanes. And there are greater hashpa'os from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and greater, I'm talking about ruchnius to hashpa'a and hashkacha, and lesser. There's more and less, depending on the time of year, depending on the community, on the family, on the society, on the country. Just as with physical hashpa'a, you have that. This country gets rain, this country doesn't. This country gets bracha, this country doesn't. You have that all the time. This country has a natural disaster, God forbid, this country doesn't. So too, from a ruchniyistika standpoint, the same thing happens. There's hashpos, which can be individual, and they can also be more communal, and they can be even broader than that. They can be national. They can be for a particular city. Depending on a lot of different factors. Now, we do affect that by our choices, but there can also be things that are not based on our choices. Lemashal, Pesach, there's a particular type of hashpa that comes on Pesach that doesn't come the rest of the year. Now, we all understand that. That we didn't need the Ramchal. We always need the Ramchal, but I'm saying, you didn't have to come in tonight to hear that. You knew that already. Shabbos. You know the hashpa of Shabbos is different than the rest of the week. We know that that's not based on our decisions. That's embedded in the Bria. That is what it is. Pesach is a certain hashpa of Cheres which doesn't happen the rest of the year. Shavuos, Sukkos, there's different hashpa's going on. Says the Ramchal, that's true also by region or by family or by individual. That's also true. Sometimes it's affected by our choices and sometimes it's affected by circumstances that we are unaware of. And in a person's lifetime, there are days and months and years where one type of hashpa happens, and then there are days and months and years where another type of hashpa happens. Rav Wolba in Ali Shur writes about this. He has a chapter entitled Yemei Ha'ava V'Yemei Ha'Sina V'Hayush, the days of love, the days of hate, and depression, Yush. And he writes that sometimes you wake up in the morning and you just feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just feel it. You just feel a certain, like, I'm going to do everything right today. Like, everything is, you know, I'm not going to speak any Lashon Hara and I'm going to do all that. You know, everything is like, I'm totally dovok. I feel really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at times you wake up in the morning, you feel like, alright, you know, right? So not just physically. I'm not talking about, it's true, we know that's true physically. Sometimes we wake up, we feel good. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm going to go back to bed, right? Spiritually, it's the same thing. And it's not always based on what I did yesterday. Right? We like to believe, if yesterday I was Meister Nefesh, and I grew in my Ruchnius, and before I went to bed at night, I was Michael everybody in my life. And I said Kriyat Shema Alamita with total kavana. I went to bed thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and about close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then I wake up in the morning, and that's why right now I feel really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That could be true, but it doesn't have to be true. Sometimes, we could, after all of that, we can wake up in the morning not feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes, even if we went to sleep thinking about how angry I am at that person and how resentful I am of this person, da, 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 I wake up in the morning feeling very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are hashpos that Hashem has embedded into our lives that we feel closer or feel further away. And it's not just a feeling, it's really there. It's really true. We actually have a closeness at times that just is. Now, it's not without rhyme or reason, but we don't necessarily know the rhyme or reason. Rav Kalman Weinreb, when he taught me this parak in Alei Shur back in 10th grade, and subsequently to Imi, he taught it to many Talmidim. For a lot of Bacharim, and I'm sure it's true for young women as well, it's very liberating to know this. Because sometimes you feel like, okay, what did I do to deserve this? Why do I feel so distant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It must be I'm not really acting properly. Sometimes that may be true, but often that's not the reason at all. It's that we have different hashpahs at different times. And just like the expectations that Hashem has of us and what we have of ourselves on Shabbos is different than what Hashem has of us and what we have of ourselves on a Monday. It's just different. I'm not calling it good or bad. It's a different expectation. We all know we expect out of ourselves a different behavior on Shabbos. I'm not just talking about Hilchos Shabbos. We expect of ourselves a different type of behavior over Shabbos than we do on a Monday. And Hashem also expects a different type of behavior. It's true on different Mondays. There are some Mondays where there's one type of hashpah, and therefore the expectations are one type of expectation, and there are other Mondays where the expectation is different. Clearly, if we wake up in the morning feeling very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the expectations for that day are going to be higher, are going to be greater, because you're given this gift of feeling close, then use it. And on the days when we wake up in the morning and we feel more distant, the expectations are going to be lower. And if we rise to the challenge when we're feeling more distant, well then of course the schar is greater, because we overcame that sense of distance and we still were Eved Hashem properly. Right? All of this is true, just like when I'm not feeling well and I overcome it and I still behave properly, I'm not feeling well, I'm feeling pretty lousy, and a person says something to me that pushes my buttons, and I really want to lash out, or I really, you know, and so if I was feeling perfectly fine, so then it's easier for me to overcome my temper, to overcome my resentment. But when I'm really feeling lousy, I have a headache, I have a sore throat, I'm not feeling well, and the person still pushes my buttons, oh, I want to nail, I feel like, you know, and then to overcome my sense of anger and resentment at that time, obviously the scar is much, much greater. So too with spiritual distance, with ruchniyistic distance. When I feel more distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I still overcome my Yetzer Hara, whatever the Yetzer, however the Yetzer is manifesting itself at that moment, then the schar is even greater. And if I'm feeling very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the expectations are higher. And I find it to be sometimes disconcerting that certain days I just feel on, just feel like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we're, you know, and then certain days, just, you know, just don't feel it. And it can be somewhat, you can feel a little funny, like, it's strange, like, what's going on over here? Is there something wrong with me? If a person wakes up one day feeling really good, and next day they're feeling really lousy, that happens a lot. It's something, is there something, do I have to go to a doctor? Am I feeling, is there something wrong with me? Sometimes, you know, that's the way it is sometimes, right? You wake up feeling good, sometimes you need a cup of coffee, sometimes you don't. It's like that with Ruchnius as well. There's nothing wrong with anybody when that happens. It's a natural, normal thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded in the Bria, that a person and a community and a country and the world, the entire world, feels this closeness or this distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anybody have any questions on that before? Because he's going to go into two other issues before we conclude this parak.
Well, so if a person is feeling that distance, so if they, it would seem that a person should, whatever, if you feel that it's harder for you, but then you overcome it, so that's good. Maybe that's why Hashem put you in that
situation. Yeah, no, it could be that's the reason.
It could also end up pushing a person down.
So. Right.
The outlook supposed to be that Hashem is putting me here so that I could be pushed, and then
it could be just like with physical things. It could be a punishment. It could be I did something wrong, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu therefore has pushed me away a little bit. God forbid, right? But there, as just like with the physical things, where there were so many other reasons why it could be true. It could be a challenge. It could be to prevent a future problem. It could be because of something that's going to happen with a friend of mine. There could be all kinds of reasons. It could be that this way my chaver has the opportunity to mechazek me. They need to be mechazek and they need to have that nisayon, whatever it is. And it could be that's what my neshama needs at this time. So
we don't know where it's coming from, but
right.
All we can do is try to overcome
right.
it.
Right, no matter what the reason is really
right.
irrelevant.
Right.
The reason is irrelevant. But it's good to know that there are many reasons for it, so we don't blame ourselves. That's why Rav Wobel calls it Yemei Ha'ava V'Yemei Ha'Sina V'Hayush, and depression. A person shouldn't become despondent or feel there's something wrong with me because, you know, what did I do? I must have done a terrible Averik Chas V'Shalom because Hashem is pushing me away. He's not pushing me away. There's a certain distance, and there can be many reasons for it. And no matter what, doesn't matter what the reason is. My job is the same, which is try to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And today, it could be I'll be limited in how close I can get. Tomorrow's a new day. It's a different nisayon each day. The nisayon is not only physical. The nisayon is also spiritual. It's also a ruchniyistic nisayon. So he makes the point then. Again, it's much harder to think about this in ruchnius than in gashmius, because gashmius is so real to us. It's a lot easier for us to think about it. But just like in gashmius, you can have simultaneously a hashpa of bracha and a hashpa of chas v'shalom, the opposite. A person can at the same moment have a great parnasa and afilah, right? They're both gashmius hashpas. One is a big bracha, one is not. But they can happen simultaneously. Mamash at the same time, the same moment. A person can be making a lot of money and not feel well. Or can be feeling great and not have what to eat. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on at the same time. Or, let's put it the other way. A person could have a headache, but they have a great appetite. Yeah. Or a person could feel nauseous, but the head feels fine. Right? Different things are going on at the same time. It's the way it is. So in Ruchnius as well, it could be also many different hashbos happening at the same time, and some of them are opposites of each other. So I may feel a great hashpa of closest to Ribbono Shel'olam when it comes to davening, but when it comes to that great piece of Lashon Hara, I'm not feeling that close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Or when it comes to some sort of interpersonal thing, I'm not feeling that closeness. While when it comes to a chesed that I want to do, I'm feeling very close. In other words, different mitzvahs and different struggles could be easier or harder, not only because naturally that's true. We're all good at some things and bad at other things. We all have those types of yetzaharas that are weaker and are stronger. One person may have a very hard time with Lashon Hara, one person may have a very easy time refraining from Lashon Hara. One person may have a very easy time doing chesed for somebody else, and one person may have a very hard time doing chesed for somebody else. One person may have a very easy time having kavanah and shmoneh esrei, one person may have a very hard time having kavanah and shmoneh esrei. That's a natural thing that people have. But even within my own struggles, let's say I'm a person that I know that these three areas are the three areas where I struggle with all the time. I struggle with Lashon Hara, and I struggle with Sechves, with Kavana during davening, and I struggle with making a bracha before I eat. I struggle with those three things. And then, one day, all of a sudden, like for no reason that I can fathom, the not speaking Lashon Hara becomes very easy. That day, no problem. But the other two things are very difficult for me. That's an example where the hashpa is different on the same day for different things. And again, it's why does it happen? There could be many different possibilities, just like we said with the physical. Our response to it is the same, as was mentioned before, which is we got to overcome, we got to do the best we can. But we are judged based on what we have, so that if I recognize that I'm struggling mightily right now in this area, you can be sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes it better than I do. He understands that. And therefore, the din on my struggle will take into account what my struggle is. It doesn't change my responsibility. My responsibility is to overcome the Yetzer Hara, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the level of effort I need to put in, and what the consequences are for succeeding, or God forbid the opposite, all of that is taken into account. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly weighing the different scales, which are there's many different scales for each person at every single moment, and it's not only physical, it's ruchnius as well. So the Ramchal ends this parak with a very interesting application of this whole idea to a person's personal life, generally speaking, a person's growth, and then also to the world at large. It's a fascinating thing that he does over here. When a person is born, they are purely gashmi. There's no ruchnius awareness in a newborn baby. All there is gashmi awareness. A newborn baby, all the newborn baby wants is gashmi things. Wants to be fed, wants to be changed, wants to be held, wants to sleep. That's what it wants to feel good. So it might want to be burped. But that's what all a newborn baby perceives is gashmi. And as a baby grows into first a child, and then an adolescent, and a teenager, then an adult, as a person grows, the physical part of them gets stronger and stronger, meaning the physical taivas, ritzonos, gets stronger, not weaker. All the baby perceives is gashmi, and that gashmi, that drive for gashmi only gets stronger as a person gets older. As a child goes, they develop a taste for more types of food, and a taste and an interest in toys, an interest in clothes, an interest in money, and then the toys get bigger and more sophisticated. A car is also a toy, right? Everything gets more and more sophisticated, and we want more. And as adults, we want more, we want more, we want more. That's the nature of a human being. The gashmi gets stronger and stronger and stronger. The ruchni becomes awakened in a person later in life, meaning not as a newborn baby. When a child is growing, the ruchni has to be developed. It rarely happens on its own. It has to be developed. It has to be taught. Gashmi does not have to be taught. Right? We're all going to figure out that ice cream is good, even if we're not taught it. But ruchni is it needs to be taught, needs to be developed, and it's something that is developed as when a child is a little bit older. And really, when a boy reaches bar mitzvah, a girl reaches bar mitzvah, that's when the ruchni really starts to take hold. And assuming it is developed and properly taught and learned, then when a person reaches the age of 20, which is Bar Onshin, so then they are at a point where their ruchni should be able to cope with their gashmi. The gashmi got a head start. The gashmi got a head start. There's a pasuk in Kehelet that alludes to this. The Rashi says, Chazal says, it's talking about the ruchni and the gashmi, that about a melech, and the melech is very strong. There's a lashon in the pasuk in Kehelet about this. So the Yetzer Hara is the melech, and the Yetzer Tov gets a late start in life, and then later on the gashmi and the ruchni might be able to deal with the gashmi, and that's where hopefully we are today, and that's the struggle that we have. So he writes that on a global basis, on a historical basis, there are four different matzavim of the world. There is the world before Avram Avinu, which is called Alpayim Tohu, right? Apayim Tohu, the 2,000 years of Tohu, and that's a time where, similar to a child, the Gashmi has the head start. Now, that doesn't mean there was no Ruchnius in the world. There was Ruchnius in the world. There was Mesushalach and Chanoch. There was Noach and Shem and Aver. There were some great people. But by and large, the Gashmi of the world, the Gashmi of humanity, was what was really powerful and really had the head start for those 2,000 years. Then, he says, that's stage one. Stage two, which is not in chronological order, is where we are today. Today we're in a matzav where, Baruch Hashem, we have the Torah, we have mitzvahs, we have awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we do not have nevuah, we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have that extra push in Ruchni. We do have Ruchni, and we have Ruchni more than they did during the Alpayim Tohu. We have Ruchni, but the Ruchni doesn't have any assistance. There's nothing other than the actual Ruchni itself, the Torah that we have, the mitzvahs that we have. But we don't have anything that is supporting that Ruchni any more than it is. Then the third stage was the time of the Beis HaMikdash. There, we had Nevuah, we had the Beis HaMikdash, we had Nisim, we had things going on that gave a support, gave a sa'ad to the Ruchni. So the hashpa of Ruchnius was stronger. This is the point he's making. Then in the Alpayim Tohu, the hashpa of Ruchnius was the weakest. Now, in this time of the world, the hashpa of Ruchni is greater than it was then, but it's weaker than it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The time of the Beis HaMikdash, the hashpa of Ruchni was much stronger. There was a Beis HaMikdash. There was a dveikus that was naturally being mushpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was incredible closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, that is still less than the hashpa of Ruchni that will be Lasid Lavo. Lasid Lavo, the hashpa of Ruchni, will be the greatest, in which not only will there be the hashpa of Ruchni will be the strongest, but it will completely obliterate the hashpa of Gashmi. The person will still going to have physical bodies, but the hashpa of Ruchni will completely envelop the hashpa of Gashmi. And then, he said, then mankind will have reached its shleimus, and from then on, it will only be growing and growing and growing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lenetzach netzachim, with tainug, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lenetzach netzachim. But he's bringing out this point that these different types of hashpos that we have, which we've described, could be daily, that it could be based on the calendar, Shabbos, Yom Tov. It could be based on a tekufa in a person's lifetime, different times in their lives. When you're 25, it's a different hashpa than when you're 35. And it could be even the tekufa of the world itself. If you lived in the year, you know, whatever it is, 530, when Adam Rishon was still alive, you had a different type of hashpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruchni is the hashpa, than you do in the year 5775. It's just a different hashpa. A different type of hashpa. And therefore, the expectations are different, the struggles are different. And it's a completely different way that we have to struggle. That's part of the reason why it's hard to, when you learn Tanakh, to deal with the struggles they had. They were very, very different struggles, not just different as in before the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, they had a drive for Avodah Zarah that we don't have. So it's very hard to relate to. Like, well, what did they go through? What do you mean they wanted it? We can't. You want to? You have this taiva to grab an animal and slaughter it and spill its blood on the mizbeach? I mean, and offer it to the sun? You have this drive to do that? Like, look, to us it doesn't make any sense. Not just that, which of course is true, that is a very, very different life. It's a different world. But even the type of hashpa of ruchnius that is coming from Shamayim to each and every one of us is very, very different. That before Chorban HaBayis, it was a stronger hashpah of Ruchni than it is now. Whereas before Matan Torah, or before Avraham Avinu, it was a weaker hashpah of Ruchni than it is now. So you go back to before Avraham Avinu and you say, what are they doing? You know, Enosh, Dor Enosh, started worshipping Avodah Zarah. You know, he's the grandson of Adam HaRishon, Yitzir Kapov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. He's worshipping the sun. How could that be? So, it's not excusing his behavior, but we have to appreciate the fact that the hashpah was completely different. It was a totally different hashpah than now. A totally different hashpah. Not just the fact that he had a drive for Avodah Zarah that we don't have, but the hashpah of Ruchni was not as strong as the hashpah is now, because now we have a Torah. He didn't have a Torah. It's a very, very different type of hashpah. So practically speaking, besides the fact that just to me it's just a fascinating thing to think about, that it's a different type of hashpah. But even within our own world now, our own life right now, today, so we're in Shvat of 5775. So, what's the hashpah of Ruchni right now in Eretz Yisrael? And what's the hashpah of Ruchni in Atlanta, Georgia? It's a different hashpah. And lav davka better there than here. In certain ways, I'm sure it is better there than here. But it could be that in certain ways, it's better here than there. There's different hashkachos going on. And different types of hashpahs. And every community has a different type of hashpah. Just both, not just in Gashmias, which we clearly see the difference between Yerushalayim and Atlanta, Georgia, but also in Ruchnias. Within the same culture, within the same country, the differences shouldn't be as dramatic. Just like is in Gashmias, the difference between Atlanta, Georgia, and Echves, Dallas, are not dramatically different, but they are somewhat different. In Ruchni as well, they're going to be a little bit different, which is why it's hard to compare communities. It's hard to compare the struggles and the successes, and God forbid, the failures of each community with another one, because the hashpos are different. It's not just that the circumstances physically are different, and therefore mamela, the struggles are different. The weather is different, so the struggle is going to be different. The amount of yidden is different, so the struggle is going to be different. How many from? How many not from? What's the concentration of from versus not from? What about the non-Jews? There's a lot of different factors that go into making up. What about the history of the city? There's a lot, many factors that go into making up what the particular flashpoints and struggles are of that particular community. But what's also going on, which we don't necessarily see and we can't analyze so easily, is what's the Ruchnius Hashpah? What's the Hashkacha of Ruchnius for that particular community? And it could be different. This is like the hidden, it's the hidden variable that nobody realizes is going on. I just know that, you know, it just looking at it purely from a Kolel perspective, we frequently talk about different programs that were successful in other cities, or programs that are successful for us, and you want to borrow and you want to say, well, if it worked there, let's try it here, and you do, and sometimes it fails, sometimes it succeeds, often it has to be tweaked to fit the particular community, which makes a lot of sense. Of course, it's a different community. Of course, it has to be tweaked. It's different struggles, different community. But what we don't realize is there's another variable besides the different makeup of the community and who people are over here versus over there. But there's also a different hashpah. And that different hashpah changes what the struggles are and therefore changes how to deal with the struggles and how to succeed. it makes the concept of a guest speaker much more difficult. The Shabbos of Chizuk. We're going to have a lot of chashuva people here, which is a great thing. And it's great to be in Chizuk from them. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But a person has to realize that both when you go to another city, I've done this, you go to another city to speak, or a speaker comes to your city, you got to keep in mind that that there is a gap. There is a there's a necessary misunderstanding that's going to go on from the speaker to those who he's speaking to. And the misunderstanding is not only because he's used to what he's dealing with. He's not used to, he doesn't understand, he hasn't been living here. So how could he really understand our city? It's true. But it's not only that. It's also because the hashpa and the hashkacha is different. So there's always going to be some sort of a disconnect. Doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile. It's very worthwhile. And it's always good to hear another perspective anyway. It's always good. A person is good to get chizik from another, you know, that's always a good thing. And a person should take advantage, especially when you have Gedolei Torah coming in. That's a great thing. But we should always remember that there's necessarily going to be a disconnect. And Rav Shiva, Rav Chaim Rachel, used to say that when you learn a story in Chumash when you're younger, and now you're an adult, so if you continue to think about the story the same way you did when you were in elementary school, you're necessarily getting it wrong. Not just because you never thought about it. You should be thinking about it more now. You're right. But you heard it as an 8-year-old. You heard it as a 10-year-old. A 10-year-old doesn't process things the way a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old processes it. So necessarily, if you've never thought about it again, you never thought about the Mice of the Meraglim since you were 10 years old, since you heard it in school. So if you never did, you're necessarily thinking of it wrong. Not maybe you're thinking about it wrong, not probably, for sure you're thinking about it wrong, because you're thinking about it as a 10-year-old. And 10-year-olds don't comprehend the way a 20-year-old or 25-year-old comprehends. There's always going to be a mistake, always going to be a problem, unless you rethink it. And so I'm just saying, it's the same idea over here. When someone comes from another place, there's always going to be some level of disconnect. There has to be. It's not possible for there not to be some level of disconnect. Again, it doesn't mean it's not worthwhile. It is very worthwhile. But always have to bear in mind, there is that level of disconnect. You can't walk out of there saying that, you know, that since this formula was perfect for here, therefore it's perfect for there. Lav dafka. There's going to always have to be some element of fitting it in to the new circumstance, the new place, the new time. Even something which may have worked last year doesn't necessarily work this year. Or worked 5 years ago, certainly, doesn't necessarily work now. Why? Well, there's a lot of physical reasons. The community has changed. People have grown. People have moved out. People moved in. Different people. That's true. But it's also a different hashpa. There's a different hashpa going on. And therefore, things need to be changed. It's a dynamic world. It's a not just physically, spiritually too. It's a dynamic world. Everything is constantly changing. And our job is deal with it. Grow with it. Try to identify what the problems are and try to do our best. Any other questions?
Is it possible for some people that are in the same community and the same, so many other things, same community and same city, same all these things, but they still have different hashpahs in their lives?
Yeah, sure.
Like, let's say, I don't know, like me and you and everyone, we all have different hashpahs going on right now.
Yeah, but they're going to be more subtle. The differences are going to be more subtle. Just as the physical differences are going to be more subtle. For instance, the weather is the same for you and for me, right? Because we live in the same place. So the physical hashpa is going to be a little bit more subtle, the difference. Mm-hmm. The truth is, though, that the temperature in your house, and out in your backyard and my backyard, which are right back to each other, they are slightly different. Very slightly different, but they are slightly different because the trees are different where you are. But the difference is going to be extremely subtle, mm-hmm. right? So the difference in hashpa is going to be more subtle within the same community. But of course there are differences. Sure there are. Mm-hmm. Sure.
hard to like define what that is. Like if someone's looking to move or something, you know, you have to feel it. It's a feeling more than like.
Yeah, well, obviously we can't, since we can't pin it down, you're not going to be able to choose a community based on what the hashpah is, especially since the hashpah also changes.
Right.
But we can only judge that based on the way people are behaving now. In other words, if I'm living in a community where people are not behaving properly, and I see that the community people are behaving properly and I want to move there, that's a good choice. Now, why are they behaving better in the other community than here? They're dealing with their struggle better than this community is dealing with its struggle. Now, how is that struggle different than this one? Well, it's an open question. What exactly is the issue? And when I'm in there, it's going to affect me also. But when it happens, it happens. It's still a good choice because Lamaisa, I see the facts on the ground. They're doing better.
Well, that's kind of similar to my other question. Sometimes people say, two people in the same family, it's like, oh, you were born 3 years later, you were born, it was different. Is that true? You were born, after internet was invented, you were born before internet was invented, oh, it's a big difference. Or, I don't know, different things like that.
In the stomach, it's different.
Uh-huh.
It's different. Uh-huh. You know, it's not different. It's a different placement in the family, an oldest and a youngest. They're definitely different, you know.
They always say that. Some of us growing up in a different world, but right. I think there was, you know.
All right, for sure. That's for sure. But you know, Joanne, every older sibling always says that the younger ones get away with everything, right? You got soft in your old age, you know what I mean? Right? Because the younger one is growing up with older siblings. The older one didn't have older siblings, right? So it was a different world. The family was a different type of family. The parents are different parents. Older one grew up with young parents. Younger one grew up with older parents. You know, it's a whole different... Sure. Yeah. Okay. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.